Amen. Do you thank God this morning? Somebody thank God in this place. Worthy is your name, Lord. Amen. Did y'all know you can have a good time in church?
Yeah.
Did you know that you can dance in church? Did you know that you can look a little bit silly as it pertains to the ways of man, but your God is pleased? Amen?
Amen.
Wow, I love you guys. You may be seated. We're going to dive into the Word of God this morning, but before I forget, we have a little thing we're passing around right now. We're going to make sure it makes its way all throughout, and then it will make its way to the back, but we got to keep our pantry full. And so there's some food items there that we're just asking that you help us purchase so we can bless people that are needing food. If you remember just a couple weeks ago, a gentleman named Wesley just found us, and we were able to bless him with some food. And so we want to make sure that we have that availability, and we thank you guys for helping us with that. Isn't God good? I don't know. And Sally, when is this due? Just whenever. Yeah, okay, so no due date, but if you can come and bring it with you when you come next, that would be awesome. Amen? All righty. Well, we're going to jump into the Word of God today. I already knew the Lord wanted this to be a two-parter, and I want to talk about why we're doing what we're doing in just one second, but can we stand? We're going to do our declaration together, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for what it is that you're going to do this morning as we learn what it means to hear your voice. God, I pray that you use me. God, I pray that you guide me. And I pray that our hearts are willing to hear and to know your voice in a greater way. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, let's say our declaration together. Our eyes are on Jesus. Our hearts are tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? You may be seated. I had a few wise people tell me at some point we're going to unpack our declaration just to see if it really connects with you the way that I hope that it does. But in that vein of thought, as Christy and I have been praying and thinking about, you know, what 2023 holds, guys, can you believe that we're already in April? I was just like, where did months go? And so because it's going so fast, something that the Lord often causes me to do is pause and just, are we on track? Are we doing what you want us to do? Are we going where you want us to go? Are we being led? And as we were speaking the past few Sundays, one of the thoughts occurred to me, and obviously it's a God thought, and he imparted that to me, and I wanted to share it with us today. But he says, Chris, in order to be unified, everyone has to be hearing me. They have to be led by me. And you're assuming that everybody is hearing me. And I said, oh. And he said, yeah, so let's make sure that as we are a hub, as we are an equipping center, always equipping and sending people out, sometimes we have to start at the foundations, or even for those of us who have been around for a while, do a little recap to ensure that we're all swimming together. Are you with me? So imagine, if you will, we're in, you know, the Olympic Games, and you've got the big old pool, and you've got the lanes going, but you've got four or five of us that are just blazing ahead, and you got two or three people back here. Well, in the Lord's game, he's saying, yeah, you guys aren't winners. You guys need to help these guys catch up so you're all swimming at the same pace and you all finish together. Are you with me? So that's what we're going to do today. This message, I feel the Lord wanted me to call loud and clear. And some of you are going to say, but Chris, God doesn't always speak loud. And sometimes I feel like he's not all that clear, but I want to just kind of unfizzle all of that and just explain it, because I believe that we can hear God loud and clear. Amen? All right, so as I already said, we're going to make this a two-parter. The other thing I will tell you is I'm not upset if you need to go for whatever reason. Just wave at me so I know you still love me if you have to leave early. And I understand. So, you know, please do what you have to do. But I want to break this up a little bit because there's so much to it. So in an effort to be united, God wanted me to speak about three things today. And we're going to cover a lot more of this in the coming weeks, so just know that. But we're going to talk about what it means to invite him to speak into our lives. I want to understand how he speaks, because something we're going to talk about, how many times have you heard, well, God always or God usually talks this way? Someone saying something like that, right? Well, I'd rather us not say that. If you have to use a word to describe that, you can say often or, even better, for me, this is how he speaks. But let's not make a big old blanket statement, because then when somebody doesn't hear that way, they assume they're broken. And wow, God's not talking. I guess he doesn't speak to me. Okay? So we're going to unpack a little bit of that. And then last, and I think this is the one that we're going to move to next week, is we're going to talk about listening and obedience. It's one thing to hear, to have ears that work, but if your feet don't start going when he says go, we're missing something, okay? So we're going to talk about inviting to speak, understanding how he speaks, and then listening and obeying. So let's start. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and I believe we will have it on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right. So the word of God says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And so I find it interesting that the very first thing that we read is similar to what people say, right? The word of the Lord was rare. Well, for who, right? Maybe someone was hearing the word of the Lord, they just weren't speaking the word of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we have to start asking sometimes when we read scripture, Lord, why is that there? What are you trying to convey? What are you trying to communicate? And what I believe the Lord was trying to communicate is there were not men and women of God that sought him out and said, I want to hear your voice and I want to speak to your people. Are you with me? And so maybe there was someone there, but at least as it pertains to the house of God where Eli was ministering, it didn't happen. It was very rare. And even worse, if you read the stories in 1 Samuel, you'll find that his sons were not awesome dudes. They were terrible. When the Bible says that you're terrible, it's not the rap sheet that you want. Because now everyone, for all generations, for all time, will know that you were terrible. So, Lord Jesus, help me not be on that list. Amen? Verse 2, it says, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And I'm not going to unpack this entire thing this way, but I also feel led to call out. When we saw Moses in his old age, what did it say specifically about Moses' eyes? His eyes were not dim. And I'm willing to bet that Moses, and I don't know this for sure because I did not look this up beforehand, but I think Moses was quite a bit older than our brother Eli here. And so, I'm gonna say something that's going to stretch you a little bit, and I want you to chew on this. You don't have to answer this now. Chew on it. But would it be safe to say that a life lived, enveloped in God's love and peace and joy and understanding, being truly led and filled by him, has its benefits in the terms of health? I would say so, but chew on that for a little bit. And so we have a man that we know, according to scripture, wasn't really on the right path. He wasn't on the right track, and nor were his children. But then you have a man like Moses who walked with God and talked with God, and yes, he made his mistakes, but he didn't have that same problem, all right? Verse 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. I just love that. I mean, just, I encourage you to study the temple, each of them. But man, oh man, so cool. Verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Now, we as the reader, we get a little bit of insight. Samuel didn't know this was the Lord yet. And so one of the things I want to call out to you is, yes, God does speak. Yes, it can sometimes be audible. For many people, it's all the time audible, okay? But yes, it can be audible. And one of the things that I think is very interesting here, and you'll see this as we kind of read parts of this, but his assumption about the voice of God sounded like someone that he knew. He immediately goes to Eli and says, you called me. He didn't say, did you call me? He didn't say, what do you need? He said, you called me. And so in that moment, the voice that he viewed as father, the voice that he viewed as provider, the one that took care of him because he's been in the temple since a baby, the voice he was most familiar and trusted was that of the priest Eli. So Eli, for all the wrong that he did, you can say, well, thankfully God used him to raise a man that Samuel would become. He pointed him. Why he didn't do it with his two sons, I don't know. But thank you, Lord, that Samuel was able to hear your voice. So let's continue reading, but I just wanted to call out those things. And he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now, some of you are getting sad images of your children when you're trying to go to bed, and it's late, and you're done. You've had a long day. Go to bed. I didn't call you. Go to sleep. You don't need any water. You don't need any snacks. Somebody say amen. And again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now, verse 7, you know it's serious when you see it three times, okay? But Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So what that tells me is that, one, we can know the Lord, and two, the word of the Lord can be revealed to us. Do you see that? It just hadn't yet happened. So some of you might be, don't say it doesn't happen, don't say that it won't happen, some of you might have been in that not yet phase. So I encourage you to say, God, I'm open. God, I'm ready. Could today be the yet? Could today be the day? Okay? Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek people who talk with the Lord. Let them help guide you. And remember, don't use God always does it this way or God always says. Just say, hey, here's how God speaks to me. Here's what it feels like. Here's what it sounds like. Here's what I'm doing. Maybe I'm reading. Maybe I'm praising. Whatever that is. But you're there to be a guide. You're not the final end-all, be-all answer. Are you with me? Okay. So it had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8. And then a third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. The other thing I can glean from this is, do you notice there was no pause in his willingness to answer and to go? Lord, let us be like Samuel. Ooh, praise the Lord for the rain. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I love this. It's both awesome and sad, but it took three times for Eli to realize that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel in verse 9, go and lie down. And if he calls you, if he calls you, because he knows that he will, say, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. I just want to take a minute here. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We invite you to speak to us. We want you to speak to us each and every single day. Let us not be distracted. Let us not allow the noise and the chaos of life get in the way and dull your voice. But Lord, I pray that we always hear you. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And we thank you. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Verse 10. And the Lord came and he stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As I was saying and as I was praying there, it's not the perfect prayer or the one size fits all, but just use what Samuel said, what Eli told Samuel as a guide. And what you will often find is the same thing that Samuel found. Not only will you get the voice of the living God speaking to you, but he says he went there as he had before, meaning that the Lord was present at all times, and he stood before him, and he called to him. So what you need to hear is most people will say, well, God is so far away. God is so far away. No, he's not. If he was close here, he's even more so now that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. Did you know that the Word of God calls you a temple of the living God? A place that he wants to dwell in. He wants to live in you. And so the song that we sang, We Make Space. Let's make some space, y'all. Do you know, sidebar, didn't plan on going here, but do you know how much junk I got rid of moving from one house to another? And I was like, praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Where'd this stuff come from? I don't even know. I don't know who gave it to me, but I'm sorry. I threw it away. It's like, how often do we have stuff in our lives? I'm going to just keep it practical. In our houses that we literally haven't picked up or seen or touched in like years. And we're like, I can't throw that away. I need that. You need that? For what? When? How? I'm sure someone might need it, but you don't. And so go ahead and gift that along, okay? So if you're not going to throw it away, gift it to somebody and now it's their problem. Are you with me? That's not spiritual advice, please. Don't give it away unless it's from Jesus. But we need to make some space. We need to clear out some clutter. We need to get rid of some junk. Absolutely. Heart junk. Stuff where we've allowed hurt and lies and doubt and fear to creep in and just mess us all up. And we start saying things that aren't biblical. We start believing things and doing things that aren't what he's telling us to do. Do I want to? Yeah, totally. All right. I wasn't going to do this until next time, but I just have to go here. So it was the story that I kind of built this on, and so we gotta do it. We may not get a lot done today, but we're going to get this done. All right. So this is my last little tidbit, and we're going to spend a minute here, but we have to see it. So we're going to go into two places. The first place that we're going to remain for a minute is Numbers chapter 22. So let's go to Numbers chapter 22. We're going to start at verse 4. Numbers 22. As it pertains to the Word of God, and as it pertains to what we were just talking about, the junk, the clutter, the mess that we need to allow God to clean up into in our lives, first off, we have to be in a place where we can see it. And I want to show you an example of how the enemy is crafty and how he convinces you that you're on the right track because you're saying all the right things or you're doing all the right things, but you're really not on the right track. Are you with me? All right, so Numbers 22, starting in verse 4. Are you with me? There? All right. It says, the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, this horde is going to look up everything around us as an ox looks up the grass of the field. So Balak, son of Zippor, who was the king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, the son of Beor, who is at Pethor near the Euphrates River in his native land. And so you've got two guys. You got Balak and you've got Balaam. So we're going to focus on Balaam this morning. And what Balak wants Balaam to do, if you get nothing else, he wants to pay him to go curse God's people, the Israelites. They're traveling, they're in a foreign land, and so as they're moving along, he's like, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you where they're at, I'm going to tell you what they're doing, and you're going to pronounce curses on them. That's the general idea, okay? So let me continue here in verse 6. Now, come and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me. Come on, somebody. You are too powerful for the enemy. And so all he wants to do is try to curse you and come against you because he has no power himself. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed and whoever you curse is cursed. Isn't that phrase interesting? So was this man a man of God? But he was doing the right thing. If the word of God, so scripture, even before it was written, testified to the fact that God is a God, that if I bless somebody, they're going to be blessed. If my words curse somebody, they're going to be cursed. So a lot of people will say, you can go ahead and coin this, write that down, the kingdom of God is voice activated. Siri was trying to get in on worship, and she didn't know where peace came from or hope or joy came from, but you and I do. Amen? Voice activated. And so in verse 7, the elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. The enemy always wants to counterfeit and copy what God does. What we do as prophets of the living God when we prophesy is not divination. But that's their way to try to get and do what God's people do so that there can be confusion. Because there's nothing the enemy likes more than confusion, because then people don't know. But if you're planted and founded in the word of God and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and you're hearing his voice louder than any others, then you're going to say, that's baloney. Are you with me? Okay. So when they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak said. Spend the night here, Balaam said to them, and I will report back to you with the answer that the Lord gives me. So the Moabite officials stayed with him. God came to Balaam. What? God did what now? Yeah, he talked to the guy because he asked, isn't it interesting that our God is a God who will speak to you even when you're not right with him because you asked? Are you there? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you approve of what I'm doing? No. Right? God will speak. Are we listening? So God said, who are these men with you? As if he didn't already know, but he wanted to see what he was going to say, right? Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me, and perhaps I will be able to fight them and drive them away. But God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. The next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's officials, go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. So the Moabite officials returned to Balak and said, I can't wait to watch this movie because I want to see him go back and forth just because it's funny. And so they went back to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balak sent other officials. He's like, all right, those ones were terrible. So I'm going to send some more numerous and more distinguished than the first. So maybe it's about title. Come on. This has been a game we've been playing forever. Stop it with the titles. You're not more distinguished than God, okay? Then they came to Balaam and said, this is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me. I want you to highlight, circle, mark, whatever you need to do. Verse 17 right here. Because I will reward you handsomely. Because I will reward you handsomely. That's the key here that we're going to unpack in 1 second. And I will do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me. Verse 18. But Balaam answered them, even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace. I highlighted that one as well, by the way. Even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Interesting wording. Sounds very pious and holy. But I could not. It's not a matter of will or want or whatever. He's saying the Lord's not going to let me. That doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't want to do it, if you're following the train of the story here. Now, spend the night here so that I can find out what else the Lord will tell me. Basically, he's saying, I'm going to beg the Lord until he gives in. You're going to see it right now. That night, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but only do what I tell you. And so Balaam has a lens, or a filter, if you will, that he is blinded by the money, he's blinded by the prestige and the title, and he's now put a wall up between his voice and God's voice, his mind, his thoughts, and God's mind and thoughts. And God specifically told him no, but you think God all of a sudden changed his mind? He did not. But the one thing he's going to hear God say is, only do what I tell you. So at least he's got a little bit of intelligence if we give him anything. Verse 21, so Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry. Hold on a second. So some of y'all were wondering if Chris made this all up. If God said go, but only do what I tell you, why is God angry with them? Is there a chance that he did not hear the voice of God? Probably ate a little bit too much pizza that night as he was partying with the guys and had a different dream. And God said, but only what I tell you, because that sounds like what God would say, right? Are you following? God's angry. Okay. And an angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Now, here's where I keep saying, y'all listen, God talks in all kinds of ways. Here's a first in scripture. Let's look at it together. Balaam was riding on his donkey. Everyone say donkey. Is a donkey a human or an animal? It's an animal. All right, we're all on the same page. And his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road and into a field. Someone saw the angel of the Lord, and it was not Balaam. It was the donkey. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. And so he beat the donkey again. Come on, y'all. This is us. Totally. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the left or to the right. Y'all listen, sometimes God has to do this with us. And I'm thankful that he's patient. I'm thankful that we get three attempts, sometimes more. I won't ask you how many attempts you got on the last time you didn't obey the Lord. We won't bring that in here. But thank you, God, that he is long-suffering with us because we are stubborn. When the donkey saw that it was the angel of the Lord, in verse 27 again, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. Someone say, he opened his mouth. And it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Somebody in here saying, oh, donkeys don't talk. Well, it did here. And it's not the movie Shrek, so this is a donkey talking, y'all. In verse 29, Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. If I only had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. So he's not amazed that this thing is talking all of a sudden. He's just like, I'm going to kill you because you crushed my foot. One track mind. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? So I love, he's like, let's use a little logic here, master. Let's process this together. He has a little more, you know, intellectual and spiritual and emotional intelligence than the man does. Mind-blowing. No, he said, of course not. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Once again, this is a movie that I can't wait to see. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. This is not a place you want to be, okay? So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. Wait a second. But God said that he could go. No, he didn't. I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away. He had the common sense to turn away. Saw me and turned away from me these three times. And if it had not turned away, listen to this. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now. But I would have spared it. The donkey just do. Oh, where's that donkey coming from? Well, his master was killed because he's a dummy. Right? But how often do we do that? We read these stories and I'm sure we read them like, oh, bless God, I would never find myself in this situation. And God's like, Chris, you were in this situation literally 30 minutes ago. Right? Thankfully, he's not having any of our cats or donkeys or anything else talk, because they'd be like, listen, can I go live with you? Because he's not all that smart, right? But Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. And how often do we do that? The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only what I tell you. So now he is speaking. Now he's clarifying. Go ahead, but don't say anything I don't tell you to say. While the sword is still drawn. Right? Are we clear, just in case, you know? And so Balaam went with the officials. And when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the Moabite town on the Arnon border at the edge of his territory. So he's excited. He thinks he's going to get what he wants. Verse 37. And Balak said to Balaam, did I not send you? This guy, if he only knew. Did I not send you an urgent summons? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to reward you? Well, verse 38, I've come to you now. Balaam replied, but I can't say whatever I please. I must speak only what God puts in my mouth. Then Balaam went with Balak to Kiriath Huzoth. Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep and gave some to Balaam and the officials who were with him. So once again, y'all listen. When we are in the world, we often like to do the counterfeit things because we perceive them as formulas to get what we want. And so you know what sounds good today, Balaam? Let's go sacrifice because we know that one of the gods will hear us and answer us and do what we want because we're doing the right thing. It looks good. It sounds good, right? It makes us feel all warm and fuzzy. And so I ask you, are you doing things simply because you've been told to do them? Are you doing and saying things simply because it makes you feel nice? Or are you doing it because you've been commanded? Are you doing it because you're operating in a relationship with the Lord God, your creator, and you know that it's what pleases him? And if he gives you nothing in return, it is still your joy and your honor to continue to do it. Are you with me? We got to change it all up. And then when we come before the Lord, I encourage you. This is something that's been really, really hard, but he's been teaching me this. She still likes me. But it's God, if there's anything in me that is not right with all of you, cut it out. And you need to hear, that's not always pleasant. How many of y'all have prayed those prayers and what you got in return was not what you expected? But now that you're kind of on the outside of that journey, you're like, oh man, was it needed? I did not like it. No single part of me would sign up again. But if that's what the Lord says, if that's what he requires, I want that. But let me be real with you, Chris. It was terrible. 10 out of 10, do not recommend. Right? I want to read what Peter wrote about this, just to continue furthering the point that we can put up those filters, that we can have junk in our ears, junk in our hearts, and it causes us to not be aligned with God, and we distort the word of God. Okay, in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 12, please read in context. Peter is talking about a whole lot here, and it's all very good. I'm just giving you a little bit of a chunk. But 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 12, he says, "But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand." Before Jesus, we were blasphemers, okay? "They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like animals, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way," say that, straight way, "and they've wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved what? The wages of wickedness." This guy heard, "Oh, you got money, title, all the things I could want. That's the only lens I'm going to view and hear and see everything. That's all I want. That's all I care about. You said the magic words. And now everything I hear," and he, man, y'all listen, I don't know this guy, but he may have heard the voice of God pretty clear up to that point. Now he's not. He's seeing it through the wages of wickedness. He's seeing it through his own selfish desires. And so Peter's calling it out. They have left the straight way. "But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech." So here it is. Donkeys don't normally talk, just in case you were wondering. "But he spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness." I was talking with someone the other day, and I just feel led to kind of go into this a little bit further, and we will unpack this even more as we go. But the Word of God tells us, it actually gives us many warnings, and I felt led to do this for quite some time, and so we will go into this. And a lot of people say, why do that? And what I'm talking about is studying end times, studying Revelation. Everybody says, why do we do that? We're not there yet. And this hasn't, no, it actually has. And I want to show you all the ways that prophecies have been fulfilled. I want to show you all the ways that your eyes and your ears and your minds and your hearts need to be open. Now, we're not going to get into weird stuff. And so you're like, hey, if you start going into numerology, we're not doing that. But what I'm going to show you and what I'm going to teach you is that God has given you the keys to see what's going on around you. And so let me unpack this for you, because it's talking about the believer. And so in one portion, Jesus says, the love of many will grow cold. Oh, but Chris, I love everybody. When it really comes down to it, what's in your heart will be brought to light when your life and your children's life and your family's life are on the line. What will you do? Will you remain steadfast in the Lord and what he's spoken? Or will you turn over, roll over, show your belly, and take whatever they want to do so that you don't get killed and your family doesn't get killed and you can continue to live on? The next thing that we talked about is it said that there will be many antichrists. And once again, I've been saying this for a while, and so I'm here to teach you, and we're going to unpack this. And so write notes if this sparks your interest, and I'll make sure to talk about it. But it said there will be antichrists. Chris, what does that mean? Because there have been antichrists that have been raised up throughout the centuries, and there will be more to come. But these are people who are going to be charismatic. They're going to talk real nice. They're going to do awesome things. It even says they will heal people so as to deceive the elect. Who's the elect? Raise your hand. That's you. And so, if you're not following the Holy Spirit's voice, when these guys come, if you didn't read your Bible, you'd say, it's Jesus. You'd get excited. You'd tell everybody about it. They're going to have awesome praise and worship. They're going to be praying for people. It's going to look and feel a lot like a good service. And you're going to say, but Chris, people got healed. But Chris, people got saved and delivered. But Chris, all this good stuff happened. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God says there are going to be people that come and say they are the Christ. You need to run far and you need to run fast. Okay? So it's not just about, and I need you to hear me, it's not just about going from event to event, revival to revival, service after service, gathering after gathering, and just trying to feel good. good things are going to happen and there's a good chance you're going to feel good. But are you operating in what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do? If he's asking you to pray for and see people healed, do it. But if he's not, keep your mouth shut and just pray. Just observe and just ask God, hey, God, in the midst of events like this, there's always good and there's always bad. I pray that the good outweighs the bad. I pray that people are not led astray. I pray that people, when they experience something, that they go back and search the word. And so I could get the best prophetic word of all time. But if I go back and search the word and it doesn't line up with scripture or biblical principles that have been set before me by the mentors of men and women in my life that I know hear the voice of God, if it feels even a little bit icky, guess what happens? I flush the toilet and I say, bye, fancy word, because I don't want no part of you. But if the word aligns with those things and I have a peace in my heart, then I'm going to say, okay, Jesus, now is the time that I start walking in that. Because here's the thing. He's not just going to make it happen and you did nothing. Bless you guys. He's going to require you to walk in obedience. And that word, that promise, that truth that you've received is going to be something that you work out with him. Because how like the enemy is it? And I'm not saying God doesn't do this, but remember, the enemy is a counterfeiter. But what he often will do to lure away the saints is he will make it happen almost instantaneously as to deceive you. And so you get a word about a blessing, maybe it's monetary. And then you get a check in the mail and you're like, oh, come on, somebody, it's the Lord Jesus. And you didn't take it to prayer. You didn't take it to scripture. You didn't talk to the Lord about it. You didn't do any of that. You just said, come on, bring it in. But what happens if in that seed you have now sown destruction? Guess what you're going to reap? Destruction. But it came in a pretty package. Are you hearing me today? And so the prophets need to wake up. The men and women of God who hear the voice of God and who have been walking with him all this time need to wake up. We need, dang it, I wasn't going to go into this, but I guess since I'm stepping on toes, I'm just going to go. But if the words that come out of your mouth are not to equip, to build up, to help, to honor, to guide, you need to keep your mouth shut. Because what that ends up being, I'm going to say with confidence, 95% of the time, it's gossip. Well, I don't like this. I don't approve of it. No one asked you. Talk to God about it. And if your cause is just, if your cause is right, guess what? He'll take care of it. He always does. He always has. But why are you talking about it with people anyway? They can't do anything about it. Can they? I mean, I'm just being real. Only God can. And so our practice needs to be, God, I have no answers. I'm frustrated. I'm in a weird place. I know I'm not supposed to be. Don't know what's coming against me or what I'm dealing with. I submit it to you. And I promise you, if we as believers will operate in that pattern, and I use the word pattern very loosely, but if we operate that way, I promise you things go a lot better. Because then you're able to start seeing people the way that Jesus sees them. And he's like, you're talking bad about one of my sons and daughters, and you didn't even know what you were saying because you were upset. Let me help you understand. Let me give you a little bit of insight from my perspective and theirs. He's the one who sees the full picture anyway, right? We see but a sliver. And then he gives you a little bit of a sneak peek into the picture, and you're like, I feel like such a dummy. He's like, I was holding the sword. I almost made a cat talk. Y'all listen, you know, right? But in seriousness, it's like we need to operate that way. What does the word of God say? I love the book of James. You want some good hard stuff, read the book of James over and over and over again. But esteeming others better than yourselves, we don't do that. We don't like that. But do it. As long as it doesn't impact your family and you can bless and give and honor someone, even when you wanted to go out and buy your next iced latte because they're so yummy, buy one for somebody else instead. Esteem them better than you. And I'm just giving an example. Unless you hear, go buy a latte. Don't do it. But think that way. How can I bless them with a blessing that I normally would have received? What if the thing that God is asking you to do to unlock that blessing and unlock those gifts in your life is to sacrifice? But you'd rather consume it yourself. You'd rather partake of the blessing of God yourself. When he said, actually, Chris, What I wanted you to be was a vessel. And though you may have the blessing wasn't for you. You were but a steward of it, and I'm asking you to give it away. Here, let's play a game. Let's see how many people you can give that blessing to before it runs out. Oh, and shocker, I'm going to fill it up before it runs out. So keep going, right? Those are the kind of games God plays. I can assure you the enemy doesn't talk to you that way. I promise. And so if you have those thoughts and those feelings rise up in you, question the source. This is either me or the enemy, because God doesn't talk like that. And often, I'm going to give you a little bit of a nugget for me, often the voice of God can sound like your voice. And so you're like, man, this was really, really good. Well, you're not that smart. That was probably Jesus. You know? Okay? Before we end today, and I want to do a little bit of an action. Remember, we're gonna cover more of this next week, so you're not missing out. All of my notes are online. We will go through them together, and I'll probably add some more. But I wanna go through, just because I felt not only led to see how it could be distorted, but listen to some ways that God can speak. And I'm going to give you a couple scripture references. We will not go there, but if you're taking notes, they're online as well. But here are some ways that God can speak. God can speak to us in our circumstances. I want to give you an example of this. So I was a young boy. I wasn't really following the Lord. I knew of the Lord. I was probably very much in a Samuel situation, young, probably Zeke's age or Isaiah's age, somewhere in that realm. And I love my family. I often had separation anxiety anytime we would go because they usually lived out of town, and I didn't ever want to leave. Mom and Dad can attest to this. We were just ball bags the entire time, like, oh, we're going, we're never going to see them again, you know, that kind of thing. And so I had an opportunity to stay with my uncle. Well, my uncle wasn't really living a godly life. And as much as I wanted to stay, and I don't remember if I told Mom and Dad this, but as much as I wanted to stay, I could not get over feeling like I was, like, legit sick. Like, I felt bad. I didn't want to go. And I was like, I want to go, but I don't want to go. I want to go, but I don't want to go. And they, not to my knowledge until much, much time after, he had just been fighting with my grandmother. Like, fighting. And so I was feeling all that around him. And I didn't know, I mean, Lord knows what would have happened if I didn't kind of, like, mess up the situation by saying, I'm not going, and I'm like jumping out of the car. And I say that to say, I don't know in his anger what would have happened in terms of the drive home, the way that he spoke to me, the way that he imparted those things into me. I don't know what would have happened if I would have went. But I feel like the Holy Spirit, God inside of me, was saying, this isn't the right thing to do. And so that's one example of how God can use circumstances to speak to you. Got some more. Wise counsel. One of the things that I think about on this is the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, had an opportunity to do one of two things. He could use the counselors that were available to him, his father, Solomon, wise guys. Nothing we see in scripture says they did bad stuff, like extreme bad stuff, so normal people, right? And he said, and he was kind of cocky in this, but he basically said, I'm going to mess up the terminology, so read it, but he's talking about his pinky and the size of it and all that stuff. He's just gloating, but he's like, I'm going to opt to go for the young guys that I like, that are my buddies, that are probably going to tell me what I want to hear, instead of the tried and true counselors that have been doing this for a while. And so I'm here to tell the young folks, as well as the old folks, Pastor Glenn and I talk about this all the time, but did you know that you can learn from the young and the old? The red flag is when someone only ever tells you what your sweet little heart only wants to hear because they don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't care if they're old or if they're young, run far away. Okay? All right, so God can speak to you through wise counsel. Here's the next one. God can speak to you through peace. Did you just know that sometimes there's not a whole lot of words? You just feel wrapped up in it. And you can't explain it. You can't describe it for most people. You're like, it's abundant. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. I'm just, you know. But you feel this massive wave after wave after wave of peace. And God is speaking to you in that. Often what he's saying is that he loves you. Often what he's saying is you're on the right track. Often you might be one of those people that one of your love languages, we'll talk about that more in the future, but one of your love languages is words of affirmation, and he's just saying, I approve. Here's another one. People in general. You ever get around people and you feel like, whoa, they must have been like diving deep in the river of the Lord because it's all over them. And then you experience others that you're like, kind of got the heebie-jeebies, I need to run, and I need to go now, right? You know, people in general, you're going to get that discernment is going to activate, and you're going to say, good, bad situation, good or bad situation, I need to go, right? Next one, and this, oh goodness, the enemy loves to counterfeit the bejesus out of this one, but dreams and visions. Did you know they belong to him first, not the devil? People like to make it about that. They like to tell you that you can achieve a zen-like state and you can go wherever you want to go in the cosmos. Don't believe that baloney. Okay? Run real far. Why I'm on it, don't read horoscopes. Don't get into that mess. Don't go get your palms read or even mess with any of that. It's lies. It's evil. Okay? But dreams and visions are real. Get with the word. Get with believers and say, here's what I've been dreaming. As Daniel did, right? As Joseph did. Here's what my interpretation of that is according to the scripture. Now, what do you say? Help make sure I'm kind of checks and balances. And they're going to say, because I love you, that's cuckoo-ca-choo, not biblical. Let's move on, right? Or, because I love you, man, that is totally in God's word. I was praying about you this afternoon. Here's one way that God's confirmed it. Do you see how that all that works? Surround yourself with people who believe. Surround yourself with people who pray and follow the voice of God. It's going to strengthen your voice. Thoughts. Word of God tells us to take every thought captive. To do what? Does this match scripture or biblical principles? Nope. All right, it's out. Having the thought itself doesn't make you a sinner. Acting upon the thought from that moment forward does. Are you with me? Okay? So just because the devil is barraging you with thoughts doesn't mean that they're yours, so stop saying that. And then when you capture them and you say, you have to submit to the word of God. And as I look through the word of God, what I've just called myself doesn't line up with that. So guess what? Flushing it down the toilet. Okay? Natural manifestations. So you could get natural blessing in your life. And that could be God speaking to you. But here's the next part. Supernatural manifestations. The burning bush was a first. I don't know that many people saw bushes burning and being on fire but not being consumed. Happened too often, okay? Otherwise, we probably would have been told about it. The donkey speaking here. So, sorry, the first scripture reference was Exodus 3:1. We just read Numbers 22:1 for the donkey speaking. And then I've got another one because you're like, oh, that was just in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Yeah, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, a bright light. Paul didn't see anything from that point. The guards that were with him heard a sound but didn't see, right? God used that to get Paul's attention because Paul was the type of guy that just went. And he just was like, I'm going, right? And we could see even in Paul's life, isn't it interesting that the Lord allowed him to be put under guard, which it was a pretty cush prison thing, if we're being honest, because he had freedom, okay? So it's not like today. But he was allowed to be put under guard because most of the books of the New Testament that we have that were written by Paul were written in that time. Can you imagine if he just kept going? Would he have time to stop and journal down and write down all the things that God had told him and shown him? Or would he still be going? If you look at Paul's life, Paul was a guy about getting stuff done, and he didn't want to stop. And so isn't that a blessing that we can see God use our circumstances, both what we perceive as the good and the bad, to further the kingdom? And then Paul's attitude in all of it was, I'm blessed. Isn't that neat? You know? So he was walking with the Lord. That's how you know. The last three or four that I have here, I'm going to go through them real quick. But we are spoken to from the Lord to us through scripture. Read your Bible. It is actually scientifically proven. Now, I love when they make these discoveries, and it's like, we've been telling you this for years, dude. But they were like, did you know that if you read the Bible one time per day, nothing happens? Did you know, and this is secular, so listen, did you know that two times a day, a little bit happens, but did you know that if you read your Bible four or more times per day, all of your anxiety decreases and you experience thoughts and feelings of peace? I'm like, huh, would you imagine that, science guy? You know, it's like, there's a whole lot more you can get out of reading the scriptures. Let us show you. Let us tell you. Let us be people who live that for you, and you're going to find out real fast, right? Isn't that neat? They just figured that out. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, because it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You need the word of God to judge the thoughts and the attitudes. And I love my favorite part when I learned that when I was younger, the word of God is alive. I was told that, you know, hey, you're having a hard time reading? Lord God, what am I going to read today? Now listen. It's been some fun ones that I read too, but where you're like, and then you read, and he was plagued in his nether region. And it's like, oh, all right, Lord, I don't know that I'm going to read it that way again. Please help me have some wisdom to process this out. So be very wise when you do this little thing. But just, Lord, I'm sure this was a good word. I'm sure it meant something, but help me understand it, right? All right, last two. We're going to talk about these in more detail next time, so I'm going to just nugget these. But God does speak in a loud voice. In John chapter 12, verses 27 through 30, there's your address. Jesus said out loud, "Father, glorify your name." Could you imagine for an instant that Jesus, a part of the Trinity, speaking to his Father, asking him to glorify his name, would get anything less than this? And here's what's interesting. Check this out. It says that some heard thunder. Others heard what they thought was an angel. Bless you. But God spoke. And he said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," right? He did it again on the Mount of Transfiguration. He told Peter, "Be quiet and listen." You know? I wonder what Peter thought about that, right? But some people do hear an audible, loud voice of God. So stop saying they don't. I didn't believe that until it happened to me. And I was like, all right, God speaks, right? And it was both awesome and terrifying. And then we get the one that everyone always quotes, everyone always misquotes, but he speaks in a whisper. The story of Elijah at Mount Horeb. I want to go into this a whole lot. And I think it's so beautiful and timely given the season that we're in. But he's led out into the wilderness and he reaches this mountain. And you know, he sees a few things. He sees the storms and the natural manifestations of the weather going around him, and he's not seeing or hearing God in any of it. And then it says all of a sudden a still, small voice speaks to him. Yes, God often can use a still, small voice, but that's not the only voice he knows how to use. Are you with me? And sometimes he's doing it to prove a point. We're going to go into that. One thing I thought was interesting, I'll give you the address to this, but read this because I think it's neat. It is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, if you're writing notes. Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. The people of God are at the same mountain that Elijah is finding himself at. And God is speaking in thunders. God is speaking terrifyingly to the people. And they said, "We don't want God to speak to us anymore. Moses, you speak to us." And isn't it interesting, the place where they asked God to be silenced was the place that he spoke to Elijah out of the silence, not out of the noise, not out of the big weather manifestations as he did at one point. Just thought it was cool. So chew on that a little bit. I'd like to see if John could come up, John and Robin, Cola, Alan and Susan, and Pastor Glenn. Would you guys join me up here? And worship team, if you guys would just play something. We're not going to take a lot of time here. Well, can't promise that. Whatever the Lord wants to do. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I want to pray a specific prayer for you today. And I've asked these people to do this because I know that they hear the voice of God. And what I want you to do is to be bold enough, even if you're playing on instruments, I'll make that point very clear, be bold enough that if you want to hear the voice of God in a greater way in your life, which probably could be everybody, but, you know, do what the Lord leads you to, would you come to someone and let us pray for you? And here's my instruction for our prayer team. Unless you have a prophetic word for them, pray something simple, quick, and easy, and just activate that in their life. Voice of God, rise up in their life, in Jesus' name, amen, okay? All right, so they're going to play some music. We're ready to pray for you. If you want more of the voice of God, go ahead and come on up with us. For those online and for anybody else who wants to just take their hand and say, I want that. But Jesus, I just pray that you have your way. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our homes. Have your way in our jobs. And Lord, each and every place that we set our feet. We want your voice to be the loudest voice in the room, even greater than ours. Help us learn what it means to be silent before you. Help us learn what it means to talk with you and hear you each and every single moment of every single day. Lord, I pray not for bad sleep, but Lord, that we would spend more time talking to you, whether we are lying down or whether we are getting up. Lord, that you would rejuvenate us by simply hearing your words, the voice of God in our lives, strong and mighty and great. And Lord, every time that we hear your voice, we would remember to thank you and give you praise and thanks and honor, that unlike every other God, unlike every other idol and thing in this world, ours is a God who speaks. Ours is a God who listens. Ours is a God who has power to act and to move. And Lord, it's your name that we will glorify each and every day of our lives with every single breath that we have. We give you thanks and honor and praise. It is in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You guys are blessed in Jesus' name. I encourage you. It is Holy Week, Passion Week, and just would you take time to search out the scriptures and ask God how he wants to work that out in you each and every day, and would you share it with somebody? This is the best news ever. A Savior came for us, and he died for us so that we can live eternally with him. It doesn't get any better than that. Amen? We love you guys. Be blessed.